Is this good?
Good. Good evening, everyone. Let's see. Well, it's good to be here. And hopefully this will be, I think of the book of Acts. The book of Acts wasn't just a story of the disciples, of the apostles, of the church. It was a story of what God was doing on earth through his people, through his church. And hopefully this will be a bit of a story of what the Spirit has definitely been doing in my life, and hopefully in Guatemala as well. So I'd like to start with, I want to start with a bit of my backstory. And it's a story of God's faithfulness. When I was raised on the mission field, in the Philippine mission field. Went to New Tribes Bible Institute back in 2002, and I really had a heart for missions. I wanted to continue in the mission field. I thought I would be translating the Bible somewhere in some sweaty village in Papua New Guinea, and it didn't quite happen the way I expected it to happen. But a lot of times that's how these stories with God happen. We have a goal, we have a purpose, but then God adds in, gives us diversions to prepare us for the work that he has for us. And so part of my story is I wanted to be involved in tribal missions overseas. It was definitely part of my heart. And got married to a woman who had the same passion. And unfortunately, there was a lot of family trauma, emotional and psychological trauma that she still carried with her. And so, after several years, she unfortunately turned away from the Lord, turned away from me as well. And so that was quite a diversion in my path. So for many years, I was just didn't know what to expect. Didn't know what God had for me. God sent me to school to finish my schooling. I studied chiropractic medicine down in Illinois, and started to practice. And I just still wasn't satisfied. I want to know, what did, even if you had a successful practice, unless you fulfill the purpose that God placed inside of you, life really isn't not meaningful. So this is so back in January. There's a group of chiropractic doctors who went to Guatemala on a mission trip, and I was able to go along. And so this is part of the story. Let's see here. So this is, yeah. So you can see the volcano in the background. Guatemala is a really beautiful country. There's a lot of volcanoes. There's a lot of forests. If you go to northern Guatemala, you have the Mayans. Populated that area as well as the Yucatan Peninsula in the Cancun area in Mexico. And so there's a lot of people from the Mayan descent up there. Let's see here. So I'll talk a little bit about the let's oh as you can see here, oh this is interesting. The city here is called Antigua. It was actually in the mountain of the volcano in back that is active. Years ago, it erupted, and the whole city was underwater, and so that's why they call this volcano Agua volcano. It's a really beautiful area. So, talk a little bit about. I'll give you an overview of the trips. I went to Guatemala in January, and again a second time in July, and we went to, there's a mission hospital out there that's, well, it's under the purview of Samaritan's Purse. And so we went there to treat people out there and with chiropractic medicine, and also to, as much as we could, to share the gospel. So part of the trip, we went up to a place called Tikal. And that's where you see all the Mayan ruins. That's me with one of my colleagues, and we had a really good time up there. So let's see. And one thing I'll mention. So I was able to. So the first trip I went on in January, They needed a chiropractic doctor full time out there, so they're kind enough to ask me. And part of it was because I really, my God, when I went there, I felt like I was going home. It was just a really, really wonderful place. The missionaries were wonderful. The people were warm, and so the second trip in July was more of a seeing what would it look like for like a more of a long term partnership with them. So these are just some beautiful pictures of Guatemala. When I went to Guatemala the first time, I woke up in the morning and I had my tea and I was looking at these beautiful mountains, and all of a sudden these mountains started smoking and I got a little worried. But yeah, I'm here, so it's okay. But it's absolutely breathtaking. In the city in Antigua, it's a lot of colonial architecture. So there's a lot of tourists who go there. Wonderful place. And let's see. I'll give a little bit of overview of Guatemala itself. So this is interesting. Does anyone recognize, see the pictures on my right? Can anyone guess where that's at? Or what that is? No? It's a Starbucks. Yeah, it's the most beautiful Starbucks I've ever seen, and the locals are not happy with it. On the left is a real cafe, Guatemalan cafe. That's what, and it's crazy too because they import, they don't even use the coffee from Guatemala, so it's really kind of an eyesore. It is what it is. So a bit of overview of Guatemala. In the 60s, there was a civil war that started. It's called a 30 that lasted for 30 years. It was the government. Well, what happened was the government had communistic leanings, and so there was, I'm sure you've heard of, there was a coup or a junta that was at the CIA supported, and so they took over the government. And unfortunately, the government really mistreated a lot of the indigenous people. So about 200,000 people died, and 90% of the rapes and the casualties were caused by the government. So it's just a mess. And so a lot of these people that we've been serving up here in the northern part of Guatemala, they have Mayan descent. They've been just treated terribly. Just absolutely terribly. Like whole villages were decimated during this war. So these are the people we're trying to help. And the people in Guatemala are very conservative. So Catholicism is just huge. I believe it's like 90%. In fact, the government's thinking of passing laws where it would be illegal to convert someone from Catholicism to another religion. So that's a little disconcerting. In Guatemala, there's a lot of a lot of organizations, a lot of, I mean, you throw a stick and you'll hit maybe like three NGOs or nonprofit organizations. So there's a lot going on there. Let's see. And there's also a lot of syncretism, obviously, in the Mayan culture. There's still a lot of beliefs from the Mayan religion that they've intermeshed with Catholicism. So that's a bit of a problem. And they don't only speak Spanish there. In fact, it is good being in Guatemala because very few people speak English. So it's a good opportunity to practice Spanish. It's great. They also speak a couple of Indian languages. Let's see. I forget the names, but I think. Yeah, I forget the names though. And the last thing I'll mention about Guatemala is there's a lot of competition. So even it's hard to be part of like the churches there, because if you're a white person, you go to a church, there's going to be competition. And so it's and even there's even a lot of competition between the missionaries and the ministries there. So that's really it's just really unfortunate. So some other pictures. This is the main staple is tortillas, which I mean, they taste great, but they cause a lot of problems, including, well, diabetes. In fact, diabetes is one of the main medical problems in Guatemala. And a lot of the patients that we treat, they'd have like severed like arms or legs because of the progressive nature of the diabetes. Let's see. So just more pictures. This is the group of doctors that I got to be part of for the fir in January. So we had a good, really good people, really wonderful people. So in the background, those are some of the nurses who helped us. And the gentleman on the right-hand side, he's a Guatemalan pastor. So he was wonderful. He's a really compassionate gentleman. And when you talk to the missionaries told us, well, if you want to, if you can't change anyone. And my mentality going on these trips was just to learn as much as I could. I mean, how much can you actually do on a trip? Not too much unless you're going to invest. So it was a learning experience for me. But the missionaries told us, again, the way you change people is you just love them. You love them, and then in time, they'll feel secure, and they'll trust you, and then they'll be open to your expression of Christ in their life. So that was really good advice. The pastor, I forgot his name. I forgot his name, but he would treat patients, and then we'd send them off to him, and he would have conversations with the patients. He would ask them about their life, ask them how they're doing, and pray with them, share Christ with them. And according to him, people really opened up to him. There are a lot of touching, tearful moments with him. So I'm really, really grateful for him. We just brought the people in, and I don't know how many he led to Christ, but he was definitely did a great job. And on the right-hand side, those are some of the missionaries there. And they would those are prosthetics. A lot we have a lot of again, we have a lot of limbs that are missing. And so prosthetics would have to be made. So this is the also while we're in Guatemala, we would at the hospital, they send practitioners to different clinics in the Mayan village. So here we had to drive like 2 or 3 hours to this Mayan village. And the missionaries told me when they first went there, all they could do was give people gifts and backpacks from their car because the Mayans were just terrified of them. They didn't trust them. So after they build trust, they're able to eventually build clinics. And once a week, they would send practitioners out there just to help them, take care of them. And this is our luxurious baño on the right. And just more pictures of the clinic. Yeah, these were really, really wonderful people. And speaking of people, these are the missionaries who built the hospital. This is Tim and Doris on the, well, this was in January. Then on the right, that was in July when I went to visit them. And it was great. I would sit down and he would just tell me stories. I mean, they've been here for so many years. I mean, the missionaries they were with before they left that mission group, but he would tell me stories of the son of the director of those missionaries. They would smuggle like drugs and guns, and it was just crazy stories. And he was actually his family had ties to the mafia, so he had Tim back in the States. So he had interesting stories. Really good couple. And let's see here. So these are some pictures of treating people. I mean, we treated hundreds of patients. We had patients who'd come in. We stuck to physical medicine. A lot of patients would come in with like nerve pain, debilitating headaches, just muscle skeletal pain. And so that's really what we did. The people were really warm and really fun to be around. And these are some really cute kids. Oh, interesting fact. The shortest, by average, the shortest women in the world live in Guatemala. So, interesting fact. So let's see, just still a few more pictures, really cute kids. The lady on the right, her name was Rhonda, really lovely lady. She and her husband, he worked remote, so they just moved to Guatemala for a few weeks, and she did translation for us, and just she was a lot of fun. Let's see, so a few more pictures. So when I went back in July, I got to meet this gentleman. He's a doctor from Cuba. Is and obviously he's from Cuba, so he spoke really, really fast Spanish. It was really hard to understand him. Really great guy, really big heart. And it's interesting, they he bring a lot. So when I went back in July, Tim, the missionary, he was in the hospital because he had kidney stones. It was just, I guess it was pretty bad. So this doctor just put him on an herb called Chanca Piedra, and they use that for kidney stones. And within a day, he was fine. So that was fun. And so just more people we got to spend time with. So I really enjoyed spending time with him. And this is Raul. He so I was able to use my Spanish to treat patients, but for like longer in-depth conversations, he really helped me out. And he works in the hospital, but and he did mission work, this Seventh-day Adventists in Costa Rica. And he really wanted to do, I guess from TikTok, but he wanted to do chiropractic medicine. So if I go back, or when I go back, I don't want to adjust people so much. That's a lot of hard work. I'd rather just figure out what's going on with people and give them, functional medicine or herbs. That's what I'd rather do. So we're training this guy to just to do adjustments. There's a 6-month program in Guatemala City. And so we're taking care of his tuition fees so he can learn how to just adjust people, do basics. And this is a picture of him he just sent me today. And he's I'm not sure exactly what he's doing. I don't think he's adjusting someone. They can't do that yet. So I'm not sure what he's doing. But he's really happy. So I'm happy for him. And I'll share a funny story. There is we're just like just, I mean, we're just treating patients like 5 minutes, it's going in and out. I was there in July. I think I treated 250 patients in 4 days. It was really, for me, that was a lot of physical work. But we had one patient come in, and he comes in, and then he pulls out a 9 millimeter, and it's this gold 9 millimeter with an extended mag, and he puts it in the corner, and he comes, and I treat him. Then he picks up his gun, and he walks out, and turns out he was part of the cartel there. So that was a nice guy though. At least he was nice to me. So that was interesting. Let's see here. Okay, so and this is every Wednesday they do they have a chapel at the hospital. So these are the people who attended. Yeah, really lovely people. And yeah, it's just really wonderful. I mean, you go to these countries and you're exposed to like their familial warmth and just their graciousness, and then of course, you come back stateside, and it's like a letdown. But I'm just grateful. I don't want to be judgmental. I'm just grateful for people's warm hearts when we get exposed to them. And when I was back in January, the ladies found out it was my birthday, and so they made me a cake out of fruits, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was great. It was a bit of a shock. Best birthday cake ever had. No gluten. So this is the hospital. It's a really beautiful hospital. I mean, when the doctors come to visit it, in a local, they're really amazed. It has an ICU as a place, in a birthing center. It's really wonderful, and their heart is to make have a really beautiful hospital just for the people, because the medicine there is so corrupt. There's so much corruption. I mean, if you want to be a doctor, part of the system is, after you finish school, you have to work in one of the hospitals, the government hospitals for 2 years with no pay. I don't know how anyone can do that. And factor in COVID, Tim and Doris were stateside. They had two doctors who were taking care of patients there, who were in charge of the hospital, and they were very humble people. They were a couple. I think one was an OBGYN, one was an I think like a, I don't know if he's a surgeon or simply an MD. So they took care of the patients during COVID, and when Tim and Doris came back, they found out that they were just using what was it? They're just putting people on, they're incubating people left and right. And they're putting a lot of people on remdesivir. And they lost a lot of people. And, but they made a lot of money. They made a lot of money. And when Tim confronted the doctors about this, the doctors told them, well, you know, we prayed for them before we incubated them. Well, it's so they got rid of those doctors. So it's, there's just a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of corruption, but there's definitely the mentality that we don't have enough. There's the scarcity mindset. All right. So while I was in Guatemala City, I visited another organization that takes care of children in the dumps, and they built this beautiful. Yeah, I don't have any. These are terrible pictures. They built a beautiful clinic, and they treat the people in those areas, and they could definitely use they've invited me or like any other doctors who want to come and visit to treat patients physically, because there's a lot of patients who, you know, they're just, I mean, it's a, you have to do a lot of physical work, and so there's just a lot of physical maladies they have to deal with. And this is, we were really roughing it in Guatemala. It was tough, tell you what. So this is the, it is a really interesting story. There's a mission group, and they built this beautiful missionary complex, and they had to leave. I guess in a sense, they went out of business. And so they just gave this complex to Tim and Doris. And it's really such a treat to be here. And they and Tim and Doris, they'll have multiple doctors, groups of doctors, like surgeons. A lot of surgeons come in groups. Some are believers, some aren't believers, but then they'll just do voluntary work at the hospital. And so this is where they stay. All right, let's see. Well, some things I didn't mention was again. A lot of the number one problem with in the area that we're at is diabetes. And it's because of the tortillas, the soda, all the processed food that's being imported from the States, from the West. And these are things that can be fixed very easily with, but you say with nutrition, but then it's very hard to grow vegetables in our area. The area I was at, northern Guatemala, because the soil is so thin. There's lots of trees, but the vegetables just don't grow. And so vegetables are just as expensive, if not more expensive, than what we'd find in the States. And so a lot of people subsist on tortillas and processed food, soda. It's really sad. Let's see. And I'll share a little bit more, but any questions? Any? No? No questions?
You were there in January, is that correct?
January and July.
Okay, so you went twice.
Went twice, yeah.
Decision about whether you're going to go back.
Definitely, yeah. The I believe what I'm going to do is after doing like the July trip, I think it's best if I spend a the goal is to go there for a month, spend a month there, and then come back to my clinic here and work 3 months. So go back and forth. So it'd be 4 months out of the year. And so the goal would be to do it. It would be a tent ministry. So I'll be financed by the work I do here. And then there's a doctor I'm talking with, Dr. Jim, really great guy, big heart. And so we're trying to get some funding from some other like bigger places, possibly Smearin's Purse, to just make it more like of a long-term relationship. Because unless you're there for a month, you're really not doing too much. I mean, relational wise. So the goal, and I've thought about this, the question is ministry wise, when you go there, you treat patients, that's great, but then how do you connect people with God's kingdom? And that's the question I have. And so I believe I've spoken with missionaries, and they say, you know, what you do is you show up, you serve people, and opportunities will present themselves, especially as you invest more time there. So that's the goal for right now. And while I was there, I was really looking for places where we could use supplements to really help people. Emergency medicine in this country is great, but we don't want to use that to treat chronic issues. I mean, you know the stats. We spend more money on medicine here than any other country, and just our results are just some of the worst. And so we need alternatives to just pharmaceuticals to treat chronic issues. And so whereas looking for, so we've been I've been looking for ways to treat people functionally rather than just, adjust people's backs. And I think we found some options, so I'm happy about that. And the good thing is there's different systems of medicine where you can get an idea like how people are doing if they have, let's say, parasites, if they have bacterial infections. You can tell these things very quickly without having to do blood work. Now, this is important because if you're treating people in these villages out hours and hours away from a place where you can do blood labs, then it's very important, very helpful. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Chiropractors are there just generally in the areas. So, in other words, to get an adjustment, is that a rare thing for somebody, or are the services available generally?
Is
And are
there,
they typically?
yeah, so there's no chiropractic doctors out there. I think there's maybe a few in Guatemala City. Now this was really you talk about marketing. All they do is they just go on Facebook and they just put like a blurb on Facebook saying, "Hey, we're having a group of specialists coming, surgeons or chiropractic doctors." And then people will show up in droves and they'll wait for hours. Like I've had patients there who just wait for 2 hours just for just to be adjusted. But yeah, there's really nothing. Oh, sorry. They charged, I believe it was about 30 to 40 quetzales, and that's equal to that's about $5. So it was very affordable for us. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned the patient with the cartel. Has the cartel affected the Samaritan Purse hospital very much?
Oh yeah, the cartels love the hospital. They yeah, they do. They they treat the cartel members really well. They give them when you're driving, when you're driving, when we're driving down the road, sometimes we'll see like this really nice mansion, and you'll know that's a cartel member. But they bring in a lot of money, and that's it came from bad sources, but it definitely helps the hospital. Yeah. Oh no, they love the hospital because the hospital takes really good care of their family members. Yeah, so that's good. There's, yes, sir. Yeah, I'll get into that, but there's in the Yucatan Peninsula, there's a lot of limestone, and so that's not conducive for growing, any sort of like any vegetables. Again, in that whole area, again, it's real the soil's really thin. I mean, you can grow fruits, papayas, mangoes, but like your tomatoes, your beans, potatoes, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Kind of going on the term you just said, so the government doesn't have greenhouses or provide
No, it's not, as far as I know, it's non-existent. I mean, they import, there's a, they import food. I shouldn't say import. They transport food from different parts of Guatemala where, it's better. But then it's still expensive. But there are options. And I'll get into it. There are really good options. Any other questions? Thoughts, concerns? No. Okay. Well, I'm going to go into, I have just a little devotional I like to share. It's just something I've been thinking about because as I go to these third world countries, part of the question I have is for the believers who are there, the question I have is we have the gospel, and how does the gospel, how does our attachment, our citizenship in God's kingdom, how does that help people in their circumstances? We're part of God's kingdom. We're going to heaven. That's great. And then what about our purpose? What about our ability to pay off our bills? What about our ability to take care of our families? How does the kingdom, what tools does the kingdom have? Those are usually questions I have. So I'm going to jump into the devotional. I'll start with the question. And the question is, where is the wealthiest place on earth? So does anyone have any guesses? Yeah. Where do you think the wealthiest place is? No, your son. You think Europe? Okay. Europe? Okay. This is a good guess. Any other thoughts? Okay. We're okay. Arab Emirates. Okay. Where? Who else? Go ahead.
RC.
Dubai. Okay.
Maybe more.
Okay. Monaco. Where? I'm sorry. What?
Brunei.
Oh, Brunei. Yeah. Okay. Right. Brunei. Go ahead. Luxembourg. Okay. Maybe. Inside someone's heart? Sure. It's good. That's very good. Anyone else? So it's a location, but that's right. Any other thoughts? All right. No other thoughts. Going once, going twice, sold. Well, I would say the wealthiest place on the earth is actually here in Wisconsin. In fact, we probably drove by it on the way here. I would say the wealthiest place in the world is the cemetery. Question is, why is that? And the answer would be this. It's a seed. Just it's a actually a seed I illegally brought back from Guatemala, and it's actually a moringa seed. And I love moringa, and while I've been there, I've learned a lot about the moringa seed. In fact, in the seed, if you were to put the seed in the ground, you would grow a tree, and the tree would grow. You could take the seeds from that tree, and you could grow more seeds. And so you could actually grow a whole forest of moringa trees. And then from that forest, you could extract the oil. The oil can be used as a biodiesel, as biodiesel for your pickup truck, or you can use it to cook in. The leaves from the tree have more vitamin A than carrots, more vitamin C than oranges, all the 9 amino acids. It can be used to reverse malnutrition and diabetes. In fact, they did a study. They found if you have five of these trees, which grow almost as quickly as bamboo, if you grow these trees by five of them by someone's home, it'll actually reverse malnutrition for the whole family. And you can actually, it grows these These rods, these drumsticks, you can eat those. Helps with cancer. It's a really wonderful tree. It's fantastic. So potentially, in this seed, you have a whole forest, or you have a business venture, or you have a cure for cancer, cure for malnutrition, cure for maybe 80% of the chronic diseases in our nation or in Guatemala. So there's a lot in this seed. So next, we have human seed. God's placed seed within every human heart. And the seed, God's placed abilities, innate abilities, purposes. When we see all the problems around us in this world, and there are solutions, and God has placed the solutions for the problems in the world around us within people. He's placed gifts, and he's in place not only general purpose, but also very specific purposes. I think of Joseph. He had abilities, but he also had a very specific purpose that he was aware of. You have John the Baptist. You have Paul. All these people had specific abilities, and they had a specific purpose that they were meant to do. And I believe that every person, I believe that's normal for everyone. Everyone has a very specific purpose that they're meant to do, that they're sent here to accomplish. And that's within every person. So the question then is, what's lacking? So I'll ask that question to all of you. What's lacking? If there's so much seed within every human being, what's lacking? Missing something. What are they missing? Any thoughts? Go ahead. Holy Spirit. Any other thoughts? Good answers. No thoughts. Courage. Courage. Nothing else? All right. Well, I would say what's lacking is the very first thing that God gave man in Genesis. You look at in the book of Genesis, it says that the earth was dry, but there was no fruits. I believe there's no plants. And the reason God gives is that there's no one to manage it. And so the scripture tells us that God actually restrains growth because there's no one to manage the growth when it comes. And so I'd say the thing that's lacking is management. I'll try to make this quick. I don't want to go over time too much, but make some points here. So I think of the Netherlands. I believe 30% of the country was underwater, and after World War II, they were starving, and so they realized they had to manage the land better, and so they built the dikes. And now today, at least I could say a few years ago, to know about today. They were so successful with managing the little land that they had that not only were they able to produce enough food for the country, they were able to export food, and they were actually able to provide for 10% of the world's agriculture or food needs, which is incredible. It has to do with management. Then I also think of when God told Adam and Eve to bear fruits, to multiply that fruits, to fill the earth with it, he was told to work the soil. And as we were told last Sunday, the Hebrew, the soil is Adama, which comes from the which it comes from Adam, the word Adam or Adam. And so what Adam was told to do was not only to work the physical soil, was also to work the soil of his own heart, to work out the seed that was within himself, and to fulfill his purpose on earth. So I would say management is lacking. The question is, what's not lacking? I'll try to make this quick because I know we gotta go, but what's not lacking is the economy, politics. Resources. If you take a seed, if I take the seed and I put it on the ground, it's going to, if I give it the water it needs, the sunshine is going to grow and turn into a tree. It doesn't matter about the economy. Doesn't matter about who's the president. It's going to grow, and that's the same thing for every seed that's in every human being. If it's managed correctly, it's going to grow. Let's see. Now, I'll share one story. There was a gentleman from the Bahamas, and his father was a pastor. He was very poor. He lived in a shack, and rodents would run over him at nighttime, and cockroaches too. You get bitten by mosquitoes. He's very poor, but God put a purpose in his heart. He knew that God wanted him to someday be a counselor to governments. And he walked with God. He managed his gifts well. He followed God's laws, his principles well. And after many years, he was able to go to school. And after many years, he became a teacher. And governments paid him, I believe it was $10,000 an hour just to train them in regards to leadership. He's been to over 140 different countries, training government leaders in terms of biblical principles of leadership. Let's see. As I said, the seed that's within man and this particular seed doesn't care about the economy. It doesn't care about politics. So then, just an ending, I just wonder what seed God has placed inside of all of you. I wonder what problems God wants to solve through you. I wonder what solutions God's placed inside of each of you. And we talked about some of the examples here. So I guess in ending, I would say my hope would be that all of us would dispense our seed before our time is expired and hopefully make the cemetery a poorer place. All right, I am done. Thanks for listening.